The 1, verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 2.
Next.
Chapter 1, verse 2 could be the theme verse. Because this theme verse, Paul tells us in Jesus Christ, we are sanctified, called to be a saints, and we call for the name of Lord Jesus Christ. So from this verse, we know that the theme of the book is how to live a holy life in Christ. How to live a holy life. Because the church in Corinth, they were in crisis. They were called by Lord Jesus Christ, they are Christian by name, but in essence, in practical situation, they are not really up to the standard because they were influenced by the world. They are not holy. So that's why God moved Paul to write this letter not only to Corinth, but to the rest of us today. Because we are living in the modern Corinth. Very similar. Even though it's different time and space, but very, very similar. Just a recap, right? First, because we are living in a sexually immoral world. Not only heterosexual, but also homosexuality. Secondly, we live in a knowledge world. Knowledge explosion. Everywhere is knowledge. But nobody likes to hear the truth. This is a world of knowledge. You use your cell phone, you can find anything you want. With a click of a button, you can Google anything, but nobody want to hear the real truth, the hard truth. We're living in a business world, people are money-minded. We're living in a enjoyment, pleasure world. People want to have so much physical things, but they don't want to suffer. So, how to live a holy life? Coming back to talk about what does it mean holiness. Holiness means we are united. If the church is divided, the church is not holy. Because the body of Christ cannot be divided. So we are talking a little bit about why the church will have division. Because people emphasize human being more than Christ. And because people talk about human wisdom. All these two aspects actually are from the workers, are from the so-called leaders in the church. Usually, leaders of the church is the one who can cause division. General member cannot do much to divide the church. Usually, it's the leader, including preachers, deacons, and elders, or church board. So what does it mean? In the future, if any leaders approach you saying that, hey, support me, be my follower, be my fans. Of course, he may not say this strict term, right? But sometimes he or she will tell you to do something. You are being like his fans, being like his supporter, following wherever he goes, financially support him on his personal activities, not church send activities, going to his own websites or blogs or forums, totally influenced by his teaching, which is unique, but the rest of the worker does not agree, but he is the one who preached this kind of teaching. And if somebody approaches you, you know already the crack in the division in the church is there. And please do not follow whoever he is or she is. Because a real worker of God will not even tell people to follow him. Just like Paul, he's a real worker of God. He didn't tell people to follow his own way, but he just tell people to follow Christ. Paul is not even happy if people follow him. So he said, why you say you belong to Paul? Did Paul baptize you? Did Paul die for you on the cross? Right. So that's very important concept. Okay, so division in the church, as we mentioned, because people emphasize human wisdom. And also because people are fleshly in their activity. Let's turn to chapter 2, verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 14. Next. Those people are fleshly. In the church, you find two kind of people. The first one is spiritual. The second one is fleshly.
属血气的跟属灵的.
What is spiritual? The spiritual one is usually gentle, calm, and kind. They are long-suffering. They don't want to cause too much trouble or debate in the church. They just want to humbly work for God. They don't want the church to be divided. But the fleshly one, they will cause debate. They will cause contention. They will cause division. And why would there be division? There's another reason. It's jealousy. Jealous. Chapter 3, verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 3. Next. When a church has division problem, is part of the reason is because people are jealous. They're jealous of each other. It's not because of really because of the truth sometimes, but rather because of the personal grudges or personal feelings. When the church is divided because of the truth issues, it may not be bad. For example, if somebody in the church, they're preaching the wrong teaching, they do not believe in the basic doctrine anymore, right? They do not recognize Lord Jesus Christ, then of course, you have to be separate from them. You cannot say, hey, we are the same, right? We're still together, right? You can, but some people, because of personal feeling, of personal preferences, they separate. That is no good. Why? Because of jealousy. So, there are a lot of issues in the church in Corinth. So, how do we overcome these first issues of division? Jealousy, fleshly thinking, worldly thinking. How can we overcome them? First, the first solution is every member should have the concept that the church should not be separated at all. Let's turn to chapter 3, verse 16. Chapter 3, verse 16. Next. Continue. 17. Okay. Paul will tell us, don't you know you are the temple of them, of God and of the Holy Spirit? What is it you? You is the church, right? You are the temple. This you are the collective plural you. Not individual you, but it's collective. This means when we gather in Christ, in Jesus' name, we are His temple. Now, if you want to cause trouble in the church, or if you want to cause division, no matter you are voluntarily or you are following someone who tries to separate the church or cause division in the church, you are practically destroying the temple of God. For example, this is the temple of God. If you bring a bulldozer, you put some explosive here, try to destroy this building. How heavy the sin that you are, right? Because this is the temple of God and you destroy it. But physically, we may not be doing this. But if you cause trouble in the church, and whatever you do, cause people to not come into church, or make the church become sided, there's no peace in the church, then you are destroying God's temple. And God will go after you if you try to destroy God's temple. Just like people, they're doing division not for the truth, not for fighting for the truth, but rather they're for personal issues. Paul, Apollos, they're just jealous of each other. So remember, God will judge. So this is very important, brother and sister. Remember, whatever we do, or if somebody offer you, hey, support me, attack him. No, don't do this. Right? We are one body in Christ. So, this is how to deal with the situation. And then, how to deal with these division issues. we can jump to, we can jump to chapter 10 verse 17. Also the same concept, one body, using the concept of one body. Chapter 10 verse 17. Next. Chapter 10 verse 17. Okay, back to you. Remember in the Holy Communion, we only use one bread. And that bread represents the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. So TJC is one, no matter where we are. We are always one. And it could be only one TJC. Right? If somebody say, "Hey, I don't like you here. I don't like you guys, what you're doing. We want to go outside to make another church." Don't follow them. Right? If people do this, they harm the church. One bread, one body. So this is concerning the division issues. And how do we overcome division issues? Another way, very important. Using love. Using the love of God. Chapter 13 is the one of the most famous passage in the whole Bible about love. Chapter 13, verse 4. What is called love? Well, this is the definition of love. Very beautiful passage. Chapter 13, verse 4 to verse 7, to verse 8. Next please. Verse 4. Continue verse 8. What is love? Love doesn't only mean a diamond ring or a candle night dinner, right? Or going to hang out together, have a movie, or live a life together, right? What human love is very limited, but what Paul tells us love, the true meaning of love, if there is love in the church, there will be no division. Division cannot survive in the environment of love. Devil will try to stir up division anywhere he goes. But if everybody the heart feels love, there will not be division. If you read here, if everyone is long-suffering, why would people fight? If everybody is not jealous, how will people be not happy to each other? Right? Not boastful. Love is not doing something shameful. Not asking, not seeking its own good. Right? Endure all things, believe all things. And verse 6, love does not lie unrighteousness, only love the truth. If everybody only love the truth, how can the church be divided? Right? So everything that we do, if it's of love, we can overcome division. And we can heal the wound. If we can heal the wound. It's very important. Actually, brother and sister, they all love Lord Jesus Christ. We have to teach them, we have to guide them in the truth so that they can overcome division. And also personal level, how can we deal with division or personal grudges? Chapter 6. From chapter 6 talks about some personal problem between members, including legal disputes. Individual member legal disputes can also lead to church division. For example, brother and sister, they do business together, or they work for members, or they borrow money or lend money to others. Anything involved with money can go wrong. the closer you get, sometimes when your brother and sister get close, right? When you get closer, you try to help each other or try to do a business transaction. But anything with money can go wrong. And when things go wrong, sometimes people decide that I don't want to be taken advantage of. I want to bring it to the court. And that will cause division in the church because money divided people. Really, if you want to lose a friend, what do? Lend money to him or her. Really, I tell you. If you want to lose a friend, lend money to him or her. Why? You lend money to him or her, they never pay back, you're angry, and the friendship finished. If you want to lend money to a friend or even a church member, can you do this? It depends, right? It depends how much. £10, okay. But 10,000? Wow. I don't think I have the ability, right? If you lend money to a friend or brother and sister, they cannot pay you back, you're okay with that, you go ahead, lend money. Okay. But if you really need that money, and you cannot live without that chunk of money, and you must have it back, then you better not lend. Otherwise, if you lend to him or her, cannot pay you back, you're angry with him or her, then it becomes division in the church. But what if really you suffer financial loss or you suffer anything because of this transaction and you want to bring it to court? No, Paul said, you shouldn't do this. This is not the way to deal with division. What should you do when you deal with division? Some people think that I should fight for my rights. I should go all the way to the court. No, this is not the way to deal with division. If it is about personal interest, the way to deal with division is to let it go. To let it go. Close and go. Let it go. Okay. This means it's okay, you take advantage of me, let it go. Let it go. Chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. Next. We should accept wrong. Yes, the harm has been done. They have taken advantage of you. You have been hurt financially or emotionally. But what should you do now? If you want to fight back, if you want to bring it to court, it doesn't help the situation. You can go to the church, ask the church to settle it for you. If you can settle, settle it. If cannot be compensated, you just let it go, right? God will bless you. You just accept the wrong. Right. Remember how Abraham and Lot, their shepherds were fighting for the land and grass, right? What did Abraham do? He chose first. Lot took advantage of his uncle. He chose the best person. But God blessed Abraham. Lot saw something, he take it. But actually, after a while, he lose everything. But Abraham, God bless him, he kept everything. His descendant, his become a nation, spiritually was blessed. So the way to do division is to yield. Let other people to take advantage of you, doesn't matter. That is, if it involves personal interest, you must yield. But I must emphasize one more time, if it is about the truth, then you should not yield. If the separation or the dispute is about the truth, you should not say, because of love, then okay, let him do whatever he wants, let him say whatever he wants to say. No, if it's about the truth, then you must be strong, you must not draw back, you must stand firm for the truth. But if it's about personal interest, you should let it go. This is very important. So the second challenge of the church, besides division, is sexual immorality. Chapter 6, verse 18 to 20. Next.
18. Read sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does without outside the body, he who commits sexual immorality sins against the body. 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? 20. For you are bought at Christ.
So, in terms of sin, there's no bigger sins in moral, in terms of morality, is worse than sexual immorality. Right? Of course, religiously, the worst sin is the believing or the worship idols. But morally speaking, the worst sin is to commit adultery. Committing adultery actually is very normal for unbelievers. They don't think that there's issues anyway. They think having sex, whenever, wherever, whomever you're with, is part of life. Just like you eating something. Just like you are doing a sport or leisure. It is a choice. Because individualism, predominant thinking of the Corinthians in the first century. But how can we counteract this threat in the church? You know, church has to remain pure. If the church or within the church there is sexual immorality, then the kingdom of God cannot be glorified. So we must maintain sexual purity in the church. And sexual purity must start from individual and must first start with young people too. Because young people have the impulse. We are living in this world, we are being influenced. So how can we counter? How can we counter all these things? I know that you are already in college. Many of your friends already have boyfriend, girlfriend. How many of your friends always come back with you talk about their sexual adventure or meeting with different guys or sleeping around? Do they boast about those things in front of your chatting? Or is UK very open? Yeah, I think so, right? Well, Canada, the same thing. There was one time there was a sister in US. The first day, she go into the dormitory. She saw, oh, there's a roommate. Yeah, it's a Caucasian girl. Well, I was quite happy to get to know her. But after a while, she know that she's in trouble. Because this roommate always bring back boys to sleep over. It's not like a children sleep over thing, of course. Yeah. But always bring back guys to sleep over. They share the same room. Two beds in the same room. But she's just so embarrassed to see this going on. And there's so much temptation. Immediately, that sister requests changing of room. She didn't want to stay with this kind of roommate for the rest of the term. Yeah. This is very, very sinful, but very, very normal in a society. But how can we deal with it? Even in a movie, in the internet, everything is so immoral. But there's one concept. You know, when we deal with things, we must start with the mindset and concept. Don't just say, oh, I cannot watch TV. I totally forget about internet. You cannot deal with it. You cannot go with it. Okay, what can we do here? He said, you are the temple of God. Verse 19. This you is the individual you. It's not the collective you as a church. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's the individual matter. That means every individual one, our body, does not belong to our own. It belongs to Lord Jesus. Because Holy Spirit is already living inside. You have Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if you have this concept, and if you truly understand this concept, and Holy Spirit moving in you, you will try to keep your body pure, sexually pure, until the day you get married, until your wedding night, and you will reserve this for your future husband or your future wife. Because you also expect your future wife to be pure, right? Brothers, am I right? Do you want a future wife has slept with 10 men already? No. Future sister, same thing, right? Do you expect your future husband already mess around? No. You want pure bride, pure bridegroom. So at the same time, you want to be pure. Why? Because God is living inside. Every time if you do something against the truth, the Holy Spirit will cry and cry and cry. He said, why are my children doing this? I die for him or her. I shed my blood on the cross. I give him Holy Spirit. I walk with him all his life and guide him every difficulties. And now he grow up, he forget about me and harm me by sinning against the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit feels so sad if we do this. So remember, brother and sister, We have to flee from sexual immorality. Here, verse 18. What is the policy? Verse 18.
flee from sexual immorality.
The Bible did not say confront sexual immorality. The Bible did not say, yes, I'll fight, I'll win it. Yeah, I can watch it, but I'll not do it. I'll train myself, I'm immune to this. No way. Don't say that, yeah, we can hang out, we can get close, but we don't cross the line, it's okay. Don't do this, don't be silly. The Bible never tells us we should go near the line and try to tempt ourselves. The Bible says, flee from, this means run away. When Joseph was tempted by the what? Potiphar's wife. What did he do? The first time when she was here, she go to another room, right? Every day the woman sparkling the eyes, giving him electricity, 10,000 volts. She must be beautiful, I think. Even though she may be much older than Joseph. Joseph was 17. I don't think that wife is like 80 years old. Right? And maybe 30 or 40, a lonely woman at home, maybe the husband is very busy at work. Right? Must be beautiful. Officer woman, would not be too bad. She's tempting him every single day. Giving out electricity. If Joseph kind of looking at her, wow, the eye will be get hooked. You know, be careful of what you want. Sometimes the eyes get connected. Your heart get connected. So Joseph tried to be away. Oh, you're in this room, I go to wash the toilet. You're in the toilet, I go to feed the horse. You know, try to avoid. But later, no, this woman is too aggressive. Now, brother, be very careful. I know church sister is very pure, very conservative. But outside women are now very aggressive. Do you agree, ma'am?
Yeah.
Why you agree? Were they ever aggressive to you?
No.
No, okay. But it's really true. Very aggressive. Right. Especially be careful if you are handsome. If you are tall, you have more temptation, right? If you're average, thank God. If no woman else would like to talk to you, you thank God. I'm not that attractive, right? Yeah. So do you want to thank God? Yes. Yeah, me too. When I was in college, you know, wow. All the other handsome boys in the class, they already have a girlfriend. But I really thank God I have so much pimples. Yeah. So So thank God the girl doesn't like to talk to me. Thank God, less temptation. Right? But anyway, now the outside girls are very aggressive. So brother have so much temptation. And sister also be careful. And now the outside male are also very aggressive. You know, our church brother is like what? It's like very conservative. Even sometimes we like you, but we don't know what to say. Put it to the heart first, right? But the outside guy is not like that. The first time they see you, say, hey, I love you. This is the roses. Can you come dinner with us tonight? So outside, whether it's male or officer sex, male or female, they're very aggressive. But what did Joseph do? Did he say, oh, let's have a chat, right? Let's talk about it. Maybe preach to you or something. No. Just run away. When the woman grabbed her cloth, saying, just sleep with me today. Cannot wait anymore. Today, here, right here. He just remove it, get the jacket out, and run. Maybe run half naked because it's only clothes that he's wearing, right? Egypt is a hot place. Doesn't even want his clothes, just run away. Why? Because he stayed there one more minute, maybe he'll fall. Because Joseph was a human being, 17 years old, just like you guys, young and strong. If he did not avoid it, sooner or later, he'll fall into sin. It's no joke, I tell you. Anyone will fall, doesn't matter who you are. Even preacher elders, the same thing. If you face temptation like this every single day, no one can stand. So sometimes I think, why God allowed him to be sold? Not pretty sold. Why God allowed him to be wrongly accused to the prison? Do you know why? I really thank God. You know, if he was not put to the prison, if this temptation continued every single day for one more year, two more years, I don't think anyone can stand. Right. So run away is the best policy. So if you see any temptation, sexual temptation especially, if your computer let you to fall, then don't use it that much, right? Only use desktop. Give away your laptop, give it to your parents, say, hey, I cannot control myself. Maybe I can only use it when you're around, right? outside opposite sex, you have to be very careful. Or even within church, sometimes when you are trying to establish a relationship, you have to be very careful. Keep until the day you get married. Even though you are seeing someone, you still have to keep pure. There's a saying that, huh? Don't let other people to hold your hand easily, right? If people hold your hand, people hold your heart. That could be true. So, we have to keep our body pure. Let's turn to chapter 6, verse 20. Let's read verse 20 again.
Verse 20, for you have bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God.
How can you avoid sexual temptation? Not just run away, right? Run away is passive. It's pessimistic. But how can we live a holy life? Here give us one concept. You should glorify God. Use your body to glorify God. Use your marriage to glorify God. Set a higher goal. Your goal shouldn't be just what? I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to sin. I don't want to commit adultery. There's a brother, every single day he's worried about commit adultery. Of course, we should be afraid to commit sin. But being very pessimistic, very passive is no good. You should have a higher goal. Yes, I want to glorify God. What is to glorify God? In your age, if you make a determination, I want to get married in the chapel one day, I glorify God's name. When I was very young, when I look at the older brother and sister get married in the church, I really admire them. You know, they can stand in front of God, and the work of God bless them in the name of Jesus. Wow. When they bless him, happy family. Yeah, see, they have a happy family. When they bless them, many children. Some of them really have many children. Wow. The blessing of the minister is very powerful. And all the workers, all the brothers and sisters can join a wedding in the church. Everybody's so happy. Doesn't have to be lavish or luxurious wedding. But it's in the church. Even if it's a small church, doesn't matter. But God is here. So I make the resolution, I must get married in the church. I must marry a church member, and I must keep myself pure before the wedding. So I set this goal, and thank God, by God's mercy, God allowed me to a wedding in the church. So we can glorify God's name with your marriage. So set a higher goal, set a higher standard. Don't say, oh, I don't want to commit sin, but you use your life to glorify God. And of course, in the book of Corinthians, there's a lot of instruction about other issues, like remaining single or remarry. Those are very practical issues. Let's turn to chapter 11. He also talks about some practical issues, also like veiling of the hair, covering the head, and also the Holy Communion. So this is also very important. Okay, chapter 13. Let's come to chapter 13. Chapter 12, verse 28. Chapter 12, verse 28. Please read. Continue until verse 31. So from verse 28, Paul talks about the order in the church. I would like to supplement one point, talk about how to enhance unity. How about enhance unity? Let's go back a little bit. There's one more point to add. How to enhance unity? You have to know where you are. You have to know the order of the church. If the order is like, oh, who is bigger, who is smaller. But just like a chain of command. Just like God in the church established different workers to do different things. Like first apostle, and then prophets, teachers. Those are spiritual leaders to guide us. Guide us in the word of God. So we should follow them. If you follow them, there will be no division, no problem. So this is a very, very important teaching. Let's turn to chapter 14, verse 40. Chapter 14, verse 40. Next. Everything in the church has to be in order. If the church doesn't have order, the church will be in chaos. So everything has order. Don't overstep the boundary. Don't do the things which is not supposed to be done by you. We have to follow church order. Everything. And chapter 15 talks about resurrection. This is another topic that God inspired, God revealed to Paul about what will happen on the day of resurrection. And chapter 16 talks about offering, that we should offer to help other saints. At that time, he encouraged them to offer to Jerusalem. So this is a practical teaching. So basically, this is about the book of 1 Corinthians. Just give you an overview. Now, sometimes we think about why God allowed the situation in Corinth like this. Of course, God doesn't want to see the problem. But God can use the situation too. Because there was a problem in the church in Corinth, Paul, when he was in Ephesus, he wrote a letter. So today, everyone will still read this letter. And this letter can address to us. Whether you are personal, you're having struggle, or your local church is having some difficulties. If you go back to the Bible, apply the principle used by the Bible then, everything can be solved. Any question about 1 Corinthians? If no question, let's go quickly to the 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. The theme of the book, of the second letter. Of course, after some years, Paul want to follow up with them and write to them. The theme of the book is to show oneself to be God's servant. 证明自己是神的用人, to show oneself to be God's servant. Why did Paul wrote this letter? After Paul wrote the first letter, many things happen. The situation does not change much. There's still a lot of problems in the church. Now, instead of respecting Paul for correcting them, enlightening them, the church in Corinth, they have a lot of doubts. They have a lot of challenge to Paul, saying that who you are, now is your apostleship very true? Is really God sent you to teach us? And Paul promised to go there, but he changed his plan. He didn't go there yet. So the people challenged him, saying that, hey, this worker, he said yes to come, but he didn't come. So he may not be that serious, no? And many people try to discredit Paul's authority. So that's why Paul had to write this letter to follow up, saying that, no, what you say is wrong. I'm the worker of God. I show I'm a worker of God. Anything happen? You drop it? Oh, charges, okay. No power, huh? Yeah. So, that's why Paul wrote this letter. And the theme was chapter 6, verse 4. Chapter 6, verse 4. Next. Chapter 6, verse 4. Okay, so in this letter, Paul showed himself he is the worker of God. How can he show himself he's the worker of God? In this letter, we can find a few points for mutual encouragement.
First, by the Holy Spirit. First is by the Holy Spirit.
Chapter 1, verse 21 to 22. Chapter 1, verse 21 to 22. Next.
God sealed us with His Holy Spirit.
We receive the Holy Spirit of God. He belongs to God. We have the power to come, to teach, to help you. And continue to read 23 to 24.
But Paul explained the reason why he hasn't gone there yet, not to afraid to go there, but rather Paul wants to spare them, 宽容他们, spare them, give them chance to repent. Paul didn't want to get too harsh on them when they visit, when they have not yet repented away. So Paul wait a bit. But Paul reminded them, we have the Holy Spirit. God sent us, God gave us this Holy Spirit as a seal, as a substance to prove apostleship. Then, secondly, how did Paul prove that he is the worker of God? How did he prove? It's by the love that he has with the members. Chapter 2, verse 4. Next. Paul has exceeding love with the church in Corinth. Just like a father, just like a mother. When a father and mother see a child being rebellious, the father will not hate the child. The father hates the sin or the wrongdoing committed by the child, but the father will not hate the child. Even though he scold the child, even though he beat the child, but doesn't mean he hate the child. But rather he want the child to change. So Paul, the same thing. I am the worker of God. I want you to change. I want to love you and change your mind. So this is very important. And chapter 5. How can we show he is the worker of God? Chapter 5, verse 9. Chapter 5, verse 9 tells us, Paul always strive to please God. This is a true worker of God. A true worker of God is not to please people, but rather is to please God. For example, if I want to please you, I will never rebuke you. I say good things so that, wow, you treat me nice, you bring me for lunch, you buy me gift, flattery, or encouragement. You're very good brother. Everything you do is good. And you treat me very nicely. Because worker of God relies on member to support. Remember, if Paul do the opposite, always rebuke member when they do wrong, member will hate him, right? That's why the Corinthian people hate him. Didn't want him to come. Challenge him. Who are you? You may not be even good apostle. Yeah, so but Paul said, I want to please God. I don't care if it doesn't like me, but I want to please God. So a real worker is to please God. Let's pray in silence.